I created an entire course on how to stop hurting the ones you love over at healedbeing.com. If this sounds like something you might need, head over there. I provide very specific step-by-steps to help you start making changes in your relationships and your life right away. healedbeing.com. Life presents the toughest challenges. Every day you are faced with decisions that test your ability to express who you really want to be in this world. We're told to keep saying affirmations and keep thinking positively, but what do you do when that stuff doesn't work? Welcome to the Overwhelmed Brain, where you'll learn to make decisions that are right for you so that you can create the life you want now. Hello and welcome to the show. My name is Paul Coliani, and I want to help you learn the skills you need to deal with life's challenges in the most emotionally intelligent way. This show consists of my personal opinions and is meant for informational purposes only. Always seek a professional for your mental health and well-being. All right, I am glad you are here. If you have never heard of me or never heard this show, I spend a lot of time thinking about communication, relationships, psychology, all this stuff that I bring to the air once a week. Why do I do that? Because I was terribly dysfunctional when I was younger. I brought a lot of dysfunction and toxic behaviors into my relationships, and I screwed them up. I made them bad when they could have been good. I brought hurt where I could have been supportive. I brought deception and manipulation and all kinds of bad behaviors when I should have been loving and caring and compassionate. But I didn't know any better, and I had poor coping mechanisms. I was unhealthy, and it took a long time to figure out a lot of the individual behaviors that I was doing, to figure out how they were bad, if they were bad, because I believed that I was doing good. I believed that I was such a nice guy. I was so charming and caring, and I was compassionate in a lot of ways. I was empathetic in a lot of ways, and I was also pathetic. I was also not a good person in some ways. So if you've never heard me, this is what I talk about. I talk about the dysfunction, the toxicity in relationships. I talk about how relationships fail. I talk about how communication breaks down, and it's helpful to know, in my opinion, it's helpful to know how communication breaks down and how you might accidentally prolong toxic, harmful, or unhealthy relationships, or even toxic, unhealthy, or harmful communication or conversations, because once you know, then you have a choice. I like choice. I like when we have a choice to do a certain behavior or say certain words to that person or those people. I like having a choice instead of having no choice, because this is what happens. It happened to me. It probably happened to you many times, or it happens all the time. I don't know. But sometimes we feel like we have no choice. I have no choice but to respond in this way, because if I respond in any other way, I'll get this reaction from that person, and I don't want that reaction, so I have no choice. Circles back to the belief that we don't have a choice. I like what my girlfriend says. I 100% agree. We all have a choice. We just don't like it sometimes. We just don't like the choice that is being presented or is available. We all have a choice. Yeah, but if I make that choice, someone will get hurt. Yeah, but that's still a choice. Yeah, but if I make that choice, so-and-so could die. That's true, and it's still a choice. Well, that's just dumb. That's what you'll hear yourself say. That's just dumb. I'll never make that choice because I don't want to hurt that person. I don't want that person to die. I don't want them to be in a bad situation. So I'm not going to make that choice. So that's not really a choice. But we do have a choice. We always have a choice. And facing the harder choices is what sometimes gets us through the harder situations. The choice you may have to make one day might be a boundary issue. Somebody yells at you, somebody disrespects you, somebody makes you feel guilty a lot, and now you have to make a choice. Or you don't have to, but you have a choice to make a choice. You have a choice that could be you saying, look, I am done with you crossing my boundaries. You need to stop. That's a choice. Even though it could lead to an argument, it could lead to getting emotionally hurt. It could even lead to getting physically hurt. It could even be worse than that. But it is a choice. So some of the choices we have, yeah, I mean, I agree. I'm not going to make certain choices because I don't want the consequence of making that choice. But I don't think we should limit ourselves based on the belief that we don't have a choice. I have a feeling that most people listening to this already know this. So I hope I'm not coming across as the guru and telling you something that is obvious. I don't want to do that. I don't want you to think that, oh, this is one of those generic personal development shows. It's not. I'd like to believe it's not. But I do want to set the premise in your life as a philosophy that you don't back yourself into a corner and tell yourself, I have no choice. We do have a choice. It's just not always a pleasant one. Just like the choices I've made that absolutely risked certain relationships. I have risked romantic relationships. I have risked work relationships with my boss, thinking that I was going to get fired. I have risked friendships. I can't think of any relationship I haven't risked, actually, but I have risked these relationships because a relationship worth keeping and saving is worth the risk, because someone who cares about you or someone who needs you or wants you in their life is going to get past certain choices that you need to make for yourself, especially ones that support you and show love for yourself and show compassion for yourself, because people who care about you will love that you care about yourself. People who love you will love that you are doing loving things for yourself. That is my philosophy. If I go through life and I take a risk by telling somebody something that I know might upset them, but it's a self-loving thing to do, the person who loves me, the person who supports me, the person who really wants the best for me, is going to see that I am making the right choice for me, even if they disagree with it. They're going to see that I am making decisions that I believe are right for me, not because I'm against them, but because I'm for me. And that doesn't mean I'm against them. It just means that I care about myself enough to make a choice that enriches my life or keeps me safe, keeps me happy, keeps toxic things out of my life. When you're around people that support you supporting yourself, you're around love. You're around decency. You're around respect. You're around sometimes admiration. You're around compassion. And when you're around that, guess what? You remember that quote? That quote that says, you are the sum of the five people that you hang around most? Jim Rohn said it a long time ago. If you are the sum, the totality of the people that you hang around most, and that is love and compassion and respect and even admiration, how does that not sink into you, becoming absorbed into your very soul, into your psyche, so much that you feel that you can accomplish anything? You feel like no matter what happens, somebody's got your back. Somebody cares about you. A lot of people care about you. And I hear it now. I know people are out there saying, I don't have people like that in my life. that hurts me to hear that. That's very disheartening. I don't have people like that in my life, Paul. I need people like that. I wish I had people like that in my life. What I've learned is that I have lost friends. I have lost good people, or some good people, over the years in my life. I have lost these people because of the decisions I've made for myself. Some of them chose to take a different direction in their life, not because they didn't care about me or respect me. It's just that we had different ideas, different values, and we moved on. We shifted gears, we pivoted course, and we moved on. And that can happen. And some of them didn't want to support me supporting myself. Some of them wanted me to succeed, and some of them didn't. And then some of them, we just moved on. We moved apart, like I said. So how did I find anyone that supported me if, when I was younger, I didn't have that kind of support system? How did I find people in my life that, when I was younger, I had a lot of dysfunctional people around me and some loving people, and then I kind of had a mix of both. I had toxic people and loving people, and there's a point where I had to get rid of the toxic people, or at least express my boundaries to them, and if they didn't honor those boundaries, then I would have to make another choice. But what I started to learn way back when, I don't know, 15, 20 years ago, what I started to learn is when I started honoring my boundaries and caring for myself, making decisions that were right for me, I noticed that the people that supported me, they stuck around, and I loved them and they loved me, and that felt good. That enriched my life. But the people who didn't support me, they started disappearing. This is how you can get rid of toxic people in your life. Not all of them. But the people that are showing up, supporting you, they love when you support yourself. But the people that show up and only want what they want, regardless of what you want, they don't really like when you support yourself if it doesn't benefit them. If it doesn't benefit them, they're not going to stick around because they need you to benefit them. They need you to do behavior and make decisions that work for them, not for you. It doesn't matter if it works for you. Sometimes it does work for you and it works for them, and then everything's copacetic. Everyone's happy. But when it doesn't work for them, suddenly their fangs come out, or their toxicity, whatever you want to look at it as, their bad behavior, their unhealthy, toxic behavior comes out. When it comes out, then we know who they are. And this is a good idea to just review who is in your life and how they show up and when they are not supportive or even toxic. Who are the people in your life that show up who are not supportive and don't seem to care if you're happy or not, as long as they're happy? Because if those people are in your life, I'm going to challenge you. I'm not going to blame you. I'm just going to challenge you to think about your interactions and ask yourself, am I honoring my boundaries with these people? If they do something that feels disrespectful, feels like they are dishonoring me, feels like they're putting me down, am I saying, whoa, you need to back off because that's a boundary and I don't want you crossing it. It's disrespectful, so please don't do that again. Are you acting in any way like that? And if you are they still acting the same, you know, the toxic, hurtful behavior, or have they backed off, or have they left? Have they just disappeared from your life? It has to be one of those three. There might be a fourth one in there. I haven't thought that far ahead, but there has to be a choice that they make too. They have to make the choice of, well, you know, if this person's going to honor themselves and they don't like what I want them to do, I'm either going to leave or I'm going to back off and choose to honor their boundaries, or I'm just going to stick around and complain about it and ignore them. Those are their three choices. And if they choose to back off, great. I've backed off. I see you have a boundary. Whether they like it or not doesn't matter, as long as they don't mistreat you again. I've backed off. We're good. Okay, great. Now you know my boundaries. Now you know what I will accept and I won't accept. So I appreciate you doing that. Thank you. And then maybe you'll get along. I remember I crossed someone's boundary once, and it wasn't nice. I usurped her parenting authority over her child. And I did it in front of her. She told her child that he couldn't eat something, and I gave him the food that he couldn't eat right in front of her. And I knew she said it. And as soon as I did it, I felt sort of bad. You know, I thought it was kind of fun, you know, kind of bonding with the kid a bit. But then his mom, a friend of mine, stopped looking at me. She didn't want to talk to me. And I thought, oh boy, I did it. I crossed the line. This was not right. It was disrespectful. And I just knew it was not a good thing to do. It was actually hurtful. And so instead of just saying, oh, come on, you know, it's just one French fry, you know, I didn't say anything like that. Instead of doing that, I realized that she was making a choice to take care of her child. And I had to honor that choice, even if I disagreed with it. And I don't think I did disagree. I was just messing around. And I decided that instead of, you know, making a scene, I just said, you know, I'm sorry. I just usurped your parenting, and I shouldn't have. And I truly apologize for that. I said something like that. And she goes, no, that's fine. And I said, no, I am sorry. I shouldn't have done that. And she heard my conviction. She heard that I was serious. And she said, okay, thank you. And everything was fine after that. And I never did anything like that again. And to this day, I wish I hadn't done that. It was just, I don't know, I was being a kid, even though I was a full-grown adult. I was just being a kid. And it was wrong. It was wrong. So in that moment, I supported her in her choice. I supported the choice she was making, which is basically my definition of love, when you support the choices that leads to someone's comfort and happiness. So, I mean, that's not the exact definition. I give a little different every time, but I support your path to happiness. I support your decisions that make you happy or make you comfortable that are right for you. That is love. That is a loving gesture. When you are around people that support your decisions that you make for yourself, that is love. That is showing somebody that you trust them to lead their life in their own way, even though you may have problems or challenges with the way they lead their life. In this example I gave you, I didn't have a problem with how she was handling her child. I had a problem in me that I just was a jerk in the moment. Maybe jerk is a little hard, but I should have been a better person in that moment. And so I look at these relationships that I have, and I try to make sure that I am not showing up as unsupportive. And the hardest time to do this is, of course, in romantic relationships, when all of your emotional armor is stripped and the other person knows you well. They know you so well that they can see through you. They know everything about you. At least that's how it feels. And that can be scary. It can be very scary for someone to be in your life and know you that well that you can't hide. It's a lot easier to hide in the real world. You can hide your anger or not. You can hide your sadness or not. You can hide how you feel, or you can just be a jerk. I'm going to be a jerk to this person because they're a stranger and I don't care. But if you do that when you go home, suddenly there's trouble and you don't want to do that. So this is, you know, home, or when you're around people that know you that well, especially romantic relationships, that is where the true test of who you are and how comfortable being who you are, that's the true test, is when you can do that around people that know you better than anyone. Romantic relationships is way high up on the list, and family is sometimes higher, because family, usually they've known you since you were born. So now somebody believes they know the real you, because when you were six, you stole a cookie from the cookie jar, and that's who you are. And that's not true. We know it's not true. We grow up, we change. Same thing with high school friends. You know, sometimes we change around them, or we change and then we meet them again many years later and we're totally different. And they still want to do the old stuff and you aren't into that anymore. So we want to move on and find other things to do, but they're not with us. This is what can happen. The values change, you're incompatible, and there's no reason to communicate anymore because you don't really have anything to talk about except the past. And if you've worn that out, if you've worn out that subject matter, what else is left? It can happen. And so, circling back to where I was going from the beginning, is about choice. We may not want to make certain choices, but as you found out throughout your life, if you don't make certain choices, things may not change. I had to make certain choices in romantic relationships, work relationships, friendships, and they either changed or they didn't, depending on my choice. The choices that we make that we fear making, or the choices that we don't make, I should say, that we fear making, usually keep things the same. When my stepfather shows up out of nowhere, I have a choice to remove him from my life or say what I mean, or allow him to be who he's always been around me, which puts me in a fearful state. When that happens, I have a choice. I have a choice to be who I was or be who I want to be. And that is really what it comes down to for me. I prefer making choices of who I want to be. The type of choice I want to make is who I want to be. And I think that's a great question to ask yourself when you're faced with any choice. Who do I want to be in this moment? So-and-so said this to me. Who do I want to be? You don't always have to go with who you want to be. That's another thing, because that's a choice, right? You don't always have to go with who you want to be. Who do I want to be in this moment? I want to be the guy who punches that person in the face. I'm not going to go with it because there are consequences that I'm not necessarily afraid of, but I just don't want them in my life. I don't want those consequences in my life. So I'm going to make a different choice. Now, that different choice may not be an assault. It might be something else, and hopefully it is. I don't really want to get arrested for assault, but let's just say I said, hey, look, you can't do that again. I won't allow that. I don't want that in my life. So you need to do something else. You know, just like I said before, you need to back off. Don't disrespect me. It's not nice, and I don't like that. So please don't do that again. It could be that simple. You just say something like that, and they do back off. And I have several instances that have happened in my life where I said that. And I'm going to say this. Over 90% of the time, the people stayed in my life. There were only one or two people that didn't stay in my life or at least stay in touch with me. But 90% of the time when I expressed to someone that they crossed the line or I would like them to stop that behavior, they complied. They just complied, or they said, I'm sorry, or they didn't say I'm sorry, but they changed their behavior, and I'm fine with either way, as long as the behavior changes. And I remember this story just popped in my head. I'm sorry. This guy called me once. I used to work with him many, many, many years ago. And he calls me up and he says, hey, Paul. And I said, hi. I don't know who it was, but he said, hey, do you remember me? And I said, you sound familiar. Did we work together? And he goes, you don't remember me? And I said, well, you sound familiar. Who are you? And he says, come on, guess. And so, okay, I'll play this stupid game. Chris, Bob, Jack, I don't know who it was. I just kept guessing. I said, okay, who is this? And he says, come on, you got to guess. And then I was starting to get a little annoyed. Okay, and I'm really summarizing this. But I said, okay, is it? Did we work on this job together? I used to work in technology, so I was marking or saying all these jobs. And he said, nope. And I said something else and said something else. And so I swear, 10 minutes of this. Come on, you got to guess. Oh, come on. Come on, you got to guess. I thought it was a prank call at first, but then I realized I did recognize his voice. I mean, he even said things that I understood and remembered from our jobs together. And so I was really getting annoyed. It was becoming a boundary issue. You know, if you're going to pull my leg, it's okay to do it for like 10 seconds. But 10 minutes? This is ridiculous. So I finally just stood up in myself. I said, you know what? This has to stop. If you're not going to be serious, I'm going to hang up on you. And he goes, okay. I'm sorry. He suddenly backpedaled a little bit and said, I'm so sorry. This is, now I don't even remember his name, but he said, this is so-and-so. And we worked on this together and this and this and this. I said, thank you. That's all you needed to say. Thank you. Now we can have a real conversation. He goes, yes, sir. I understand. Yes, sir. He suddenly became very submissive, very compliant. And I didn't want him to do that either. I just wanted him to be normal. I just wanted him to have a real conversation. But he just kept pushing and pushing and pushing. It was ridiculous. And I finally just, like I said, expressed my boundary. This is ridiculous. I'm not going to go on. If you don't tell me who you are, I'm going to hang up on you. Okay. And this is at the time I was just starting to learn that people pleasing was not necessarily helpful or healthy, because this is what happens. You know, we get into these conversations or even these types of relationships where somebody pushes and pushes and pushes, and in this case, they pulling my leg, and they just think it's funny, or they just want to control, or whatever it was. I know he wasn't trying to be a jerk. He was just trying to have fun, and I think it was just an immature thing. So I snapped him out of it. I told him, this is enough. It's enough. And he got it. And that was it. And then we had a normal conversation, and it was fine, but he didn't actually ever call me again. But it was funny because it was opportunity. It wasn't funny, but it was an opportunity for me to tell someone that what they're doing is wrong. And I didn't necessarily want to do that. There was a fear that I might be hurting his feelings, or I was afraid of confrontation at the time. But you know how somebody just pushes and pushes and pushes, and you can't take it anymore? You are done? That was me. That was where I was. I got to my threshold and I said, that's it. It's over. If you don't stop, I don't care about the consequences, because this is such a damn waste of time. That was what was in my mind. And I stopped it. And like I said, he disappeared, and not that he was toxic. I think it was an immature thing. But my point is, we do have a choice in a lot of situations. I think we always have a choice. We just don't like some of the choices we have. And we have to be okay making some choices, because if we don't make some choices, things continue as is. If you're okay with as is, no problem. But if you're not okay, then it's time to look inward and ask yourself, okay, what would I do or say if I had absolutely no fear of the consequences and I made this choice? What would I do or say? Okay, that's my choice. What would I do or say? I would say this. And then I make that choice. And then I find out what happens. That's the scariest part. That's the moment of impact. That's ground zero. You are making that choice and finding out what happens next. You may not be prepared. I remember when I made some choices, I thought I was going to get fired. I thought I was going to get punched. I thought she was going to break up with me. I was just waiting for it to happen, because I had never made these kind of choices before. I've never said what I said before, because I was always too afraid to. So I waited. I just chose to accept the worst case scenario. And when I did that and found out what happened, my life got better. Even when people disappeared from it, even when people were upset about it, my life got better because I made those scary choices and honored myself. And like I said, the people who love you will love that you love yourself. The people who support you will support you supporting yourself. They want you to thrive. They want you to be happy. The people who are out for themselves and more selfish, they're not going to care what choices you make as long as it benefits them. And if you make choices that don't benefit them, what happens? You start to ease those people, or They just disappear from your life. You're going to ease them out of your life, or they'll just disappear out of your life because you're not making choices that benefit them. And just to conclude this segment, I love choices that benefit both people, the mutually beneficial choices. And I always like to look at it as I honor myself while loving them. And I think that's a great approach. I think that's a great way to handle things. Like, I have a relative. I honored myself with that relative while loving them at the same time. No, I won't accept that, or I can't do that for you, but I still love you, and I will do everything else. I'll do something else for you. That's what I mean, is that you honor yourself and you say, but it doesn't change how I feel about you. I still love you, but this is what I need to do for me. You don't necessarily say those words, but you act that way. I need to do this for me, and it's not against you. For me, not against you. That's my philosophy. And when you need to use that, it's very helpful because you get to find out who really is in it for themselves and who actually wants to see you thrive. I hope everyone wants to see you thrive. And before I conclude this, I forgot. I was going to tell you, I almost forgot this, how to get these kind of people in your life. This is what happens. As these toxic people disappear from your life, you are no longer, and I don't want to make this sound weird, but you're no longer in that toxic soup. You're not in that toxic energy. And that makes you less repulsive. This is not the way I mean it, but let's just say that you have good people around, maybe not around you, but they're around, but you got this other person in your life that is a little bit toxic or is a little bit harmful. Those other people may not want to be near you if that person's in your life. And when you start removing, or when these toxic people start leaving your life, you suddenly become a different type of, I'm not going to say you're a different type of person, but you're a different type of energy. You're a different type of entity in the world. It's like looking at the difference between that cloudy trail into the dead woods, you know, the cloudiness, the darkness, the lightning. I mean, some people may prefer that trail, but you see a trail going over there into the dark, dead looking woods. And then you see a trail that has sunlight in the woods are bright and colorful and the sun is shining through and the path is lit up. Which one do you take? This is how I see other people, the way they look at me, the way they look at others. They either see that path or they see the darkness. I mean, not that darkness is bad. I'm just saying the dark wood picture that I made, the dark woods isn't as appealing, at least using this metaphor, we'll just go with it, as the bright path over there. And sometimes we have people in our life that makes us feel or makes us appear as if we are the dark woods. And I know I'm skirting the edge of people judging us. I realize that, hey, you're judging me because of my friends. It's not that. I believe what happens is that you are a different person with certain other people in your life. And when you start loving yourself, not that you're not, but you start being more compassionate to the point where you are not allowing certain people to harm you, to be toxic, to show up as toxic in your life, you change. This is what happened to me over and over again. I feel like I've changed a lot ever since I started honoring myself. So I changed that one time I spoke up to my boss. I changed that one time, or many times, I told the truth to my loved ones, even though there could have been repercussions and they could have left me, you know, romantic relationships, they could have left me, family relationships, they could have hurt me, they could have disappeared, I don't know. And some of them did, like I said. But what I've noticed is that the more I showed up as who I wanted to be, the more my life opened up to other people that supported me being who I wanted to be. And that changed me. And when you change at that level. This is how other people, healthier people, show up in your life. And that's all I meant to say is that's how you get it. And I know it. I should give you a more practical example, like go to a meetup and meet people doing like-minded things. And absolutely, absolutely. You know, you do things that you like. So other people are doing the same things that you like, and you're going to develop friendships that way. But this is a much deeper thing I'm talking about. And that's why I wanted to share it, because I don't like going very practical. I want to go deeper. I want to get down inside and really change things at the fundamentally base level. So I hope that's a start if you needed that. If you didn't, then okay, let's go to the next segment. We'll be right back after this, and we'll talk about something very short. It may be interesting. Be right back. I want to talk about two things that are good for your physical and your mental health. One of them is the Amazon pharmacy. Yes, did you know Amazon has a pharmacy? They help you save time, they help you save money, and you stay healthy. That is phenomenal, because Amazon is the company I always use to buy stuff. And I love that they have transparent pricing, so you know what you'll pay before you buy it, which is great. And Prime members can save up to 80% on their prescriptions, which is phenomenal. And they also take most insurance plans. This is a pharmacy that works for your life with meds delivered to your door. It doesn't get any better than that. Switch to Amazon Pharmacy, save time, save money, stay healthy, and learn more at amazon.com/Paul. That's right. Amazon.com/Paul, P-A-U-L. You're going to be so grateful. You won't be stuck in a line. You're going to be so grateful. Hey, this saves you a lot of time. Don't drive to the store. They can deliver it right to your door. Go to amazon.com/Paul. Average savings based on usage and inside Rx data as compared to cash prices. Average savings for all generics are 78%, 37% for select brand medications. Restrictions apply. And your mental health is so important, which is why I am always excited to tell you about BetterHelp. They are a sponsor of today's episode, and I want you to know that I have vetted their team. I mean, I have talked with them. I have talked with several of their therapists, and in case you don't know who BetterHelp is, they are the world's largest therapy service. They have matched 3 million people with professionally licensed and vetted therapists available 100% online. It is an affordable, simple-to-use service that allows you to use it where you're most comfortable, with your phone, with your computer, whatever you need to do so that you're comfortable talking with them. You don't even have to show your face if you don't want to. You can just send them a message. They offer no waiting rooms, no traffic, no endless searching for the right therapist. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and you'll be matched with a therapist. And if things aren't clicking with them, you can easily switch to a new therapist anytime. It really couldn't be simpler. I want you to check them out at betterhelp.com/brain. You can learn more about them. You can save 10% on your first month as long as you use that address, betterhelp, help.com/brain. Unfortunately, life doesn't come with a user manual, so check out BetterHelp today. Welcome back. I said it might be interesting, this next segment. These are some notes that I took regarding what I was going to talk about today, and they kind of morphed into something else, and I think it's very relevant to what I've already talked about in the first segment, and that is how our characteristics, our strongest characteristics, can be taken advantage of by someone else's worst characteristics. It's not necessarily yin-yang, it's just a matter of my dysfunction complements your dysfunction. But the strongest characteristics aren't dysfunctions. They become dysfunctions when they're taken advantage of and we don't stop it. We may not know how to stop it, and that's why I talk about the stuff, but what I mean, let me just give you a few examples. For example, the people pleaser complements the controlling person. As a former people pleaser myself, someone could easily control me. They could steamroll me. They could tell me what to do and I would do it. So I felt very out of control in my life. And that's what happens with people pleasers. They often feel out of control and they try to control things by accommodating and trying to make others like them and trying to do things for other people so that they are liked. And if they're liked, maybe they'll be treated nicer. You know, all kinds of qualities about the people pleaser I've talked about many times. But the people pleaser complements the controller, just like the controlling person will complement the people pleaser. And how does this apply to what I just said? The strongest characteristic, people pleasing, could be you, could be someone else. They get taken advantage of by the controller. So people pleasing in itself isn't necessarily a dysfunction unless you do it all the time or it leads to resentment or anger or burnout. Any quality can be a dysfunction if used in excess, and any quality can also be a strong characteristic, a good positive characteristic, if used appropriately in the right circumstances. A people pleaser in a business negotiation might be helpful as long as it doesn't go overboard. Like, it would be great to have the kindest, most charming person in the room meet the new foreign investor to smooth things over for a while because they're so good at connecting with people. That's when a dysfunction might be a benefit or a superpower. But I'm not going to get too deep into the weeds there, but I'm going to give you a few examples. The caregiver complements the addict. And I'm just talking about addicts that are maybe out of control or they do bad behavior or hurtful behavior. If there's an addict out there listening, I'm not putting you down for this. I know it's an issue and you might have to deal with it, but I'm talking about the addict that won't stop, can't stop, and also does bad behavior. A caregiver might have an addict in their life because those two dysfunctions can complement each other. And I don't mean caregiving is a dysfunction. I mean, it becomes dysfunctional when the complement exists. So the caregiver that's constantly caring for the addict that is constantly doing things that the caregiver always cleans up after. So the addict doesn't necessarily want to stop doing the harmful behavior because the caregiver comes along and cleans up after them. And so it becomes complementary. This is very typical codependent relationship. I'm talking about codependent relationships here. This is all about codependency. I didn't even think about it till now. These are all about codependency. So we have the people pleaser and the controller together. We have the caregiver complementing the addict. Now we have the compassionate person that complements the guilter, the person who guilts the compassionate person. So they're using their compassion against them. Don't you care about me? That might be something the guilter does. Why would you leave me alone? Why are you going out with your friends? Don't you want me there? That would be a guilter guilting the person who's compassionate because they know that if they say something like that, a compassionate person doesn't want to be seen as the bad guy. They don't want to be seen as a person that doesn't care about someone else. So the guilter will take advantage of that. And I say this from experience. I used to be the guilter. I am not proud of that, but that's who I was. And I would use guilt to get my way. Part of what I did to manipulate and control. And so this is what happens. A compassionate person might find a complimentary person in their life who also guilts them. And these aren't just black and white. There's all kinds of, or many components of good behaviors and bad behaviors that complement each other. But let me go down this list just so I can finish it off and kind of make my point here. The honest person complements the dishonest person. The naive person complements the conniver or deceptive person. The generous person complements the taker. The loyal person complements the betrayer. The rescuer, which is normally seen as a dysfunction, complements the person who uses victimhood as a manipulation. Again, some of these good qualities or strong qualities can also be dysfunctional, depending on how they're used and if you haven't healed from them, and if they create anger or resentment or other negative side effects. These aren't always true either. Everything I just said isn't always true. Just because you're a compassionate person doesn't mean you're immediately going to be with a guilter or around a guilter. Just because you're compassionate doesn't mean somebody's going to take advantage of that compassion. You just have to know that there are people out there that will take advantage of your strongest qualities. And this is really good to know. This is really good for you to know, because if you're wondering why you keep ending up with certain people in your life, coming back to segment one about whether the toxic person stays in your life or not, why is this person keep showing up in my life? And it's not the same person, it's just a different person every time, but the same thing happens over and over again. Why is this happening? This is what I recommend you do. You ask yourself, what are my strongest qualities? What are my strongest good qualities? What do I really like and admire about myself, if that's the right term for you? What I really like about myself? What do I really like showing people? I like showing people my compassionate side. I like showing people my generous side. How about naivete? If you're naive, it's not like you want to show that to people, but if that's something inside of you, then admit it. You know, I am really naive. So how is this other person taking advantage of that? And are they taking advantage of that? That should be the first question. Are they taking advantage of that? Because if I am typically naive, or I am typically honest, or I'm typically a caregiver, whatever it is, whatever it is for you, then this is, like I said, good to know, because you can ask yourself, what are my strongest qualities, or what is my strongest quality? And when I'm around somebody who is making my life difficult, are they taking advantage of that strongest quality or one of my strongest qualities? This is how you figure it out. This is how you unpack what might be happening in any type of conversation or relationship. What's happening here? Why does this type of person always show up in my life? What about me is causing this? Well, what are your strongest qualities? What are your best qualities? Because what happens is your best qualities get used against you by someone who takes advantage of those qualities because they know that about you. I mean, not even consciously sometimes. They don't realize they're doing it. They just realize that person's so nice, so I'm going to take advantage of that. I mean, I get what you're thinking right now. I'm thinking that you're thinking, well, if that's me, does that mean I have to stop being kind? I have to stop being a caregiver? No, because like I said, these aren't always true. Your best qualities are your greatest assets. Your greatest parts of you are there. I don't want you to change the greatest parts of you. I want you to be aware that the greatest parts of you are the things that usually get taken advantage of by certain people. Certain people will take advantage of those greatest parts of you. And because they will, you just have to be aware that your super strength is their poison. That's how they poison you. That's how they get in under your skin. The reason for that is it's natural to you. If you're a compassionate person and it's natural to you, then what ends up happening is that you don't think that anyone's going to take advantage of that because it's so natural. You don't have to think about it. That's just who I am. That's in my nature. Great. When it's in your nature, it's less conscious. If it's less conscious, then you are not thinking about it. And when someone comes along and takes advantage of it, you don't know what's happening. And so I'm trying to make you aware that your positive strengths, your everything that you love about yourself can be taken advantage of, which is important to know so that when somebody comes along and you can't figure out why you just don't like this person or how they keep getting under your skin, you have to maybe take an inventory of your strengths to figure out if they're taking advantage of those strengths, because some people are very good at it. Some people are very good at taking advantage of compassionate, kind, loyal, generous, even naive, and rescuing people, all these people I've listed. Now, this doesn't make it your fault. This, you know, if this happens to you, if you're in a complimentary relationship like this, like a negative compliment, then it's not your fault. It's their fault for taking advantage of you. It's not your fault for having these strengths. It's their fault for having these bad behaviors. You can't be at fault for kindness and generosity. The person at fault is the one taking advantage of those things. I think it's important, again, you need to recognize your own characteristics so that you know who you'll compliment. Again, that doesn't mean everyone you meet is your alter ego. It just means that the capacity for that to happen is present. And you need to be aware. The capacity to attract or be attracted to, even you might even be attracted to people like this inadvertently, unconsciously, because it probably existed in your life somewhere. Why would it exist in your life somewhere? Maybe it exists in your past, in your childhood. Maybe you're overly complimentary. You compliment people a little too much. And that comes from not receiving compliments when you were a child. So there was probably a complimentary relationship back when you were a child. So you brought that into your adult world, and now you meet people and you're overly complimentary, and you find someone who's emotionally disconnected. Eesh. Now you have a compliment that doesn't work, and the capacity has always been there because you brought this wonderful quality, although overly complimentary might be a dysfunction, probably, but it can work. There can be people that are fully capable, fully functional, and know when to use their strengths. So when you meet someone that is the opposite of that, the alter ego, I guess you could say, that's when it becomes a problem. So I've had several relationships where I showed up as insecure. And then when I found someone who is secure in themselves, that compliment helped to actually balance me. And so this is where I want to end this, is that who compliments us is also the person that balances us at first. At first, everything seems to line up perfectly. Wow, this is a great relationship. Let's just talk about romantic relationship. This is a great relationship. I love this person. We feel like we are two peas in a pod, and everything just fits. The round peg in the round hole, the square peg in the square hole, everything fits perfect. And it's because, one of the reasons is because the compliment is there. My compassion is complimenting their behaviors in a way that makes me feel good to be compassionate. And they may be playing a victim, or they may say they feel guilty about something. So you have compassion for them. And this is what happens, is that they show up in a way that allows you to use your strengths. That's my strength. I can help here, or I can show up for this person in a way that makes them feel loved. And so it feels very balanced. It feels very right. So here's what happens, is after the balance is established and it feels good, the other characteristics that weren't conducive to a long-lasting relationship start to appear. What does that mean? That means that once the balance is established, the complementary characteristics, the people pleaser with the controller, for example, once that balance is established, then the complementary characteristics aren't necessarily highlighted anymore. They're almost put aside so that the person with, toxic characteristics, their other negative characteristics will come out because the balance was established. This is hard to explain and even hard to understand myself sometimes, is that when the balance is established, the other characteristics that aren't so healthy, the toxic ones, the hurtful ones, they start to come out. So the balance gets established first. Your strongest characteristics with someone else's worst characteristics. Once that balance or complement is established, the relationship takes on a new normal. It becomes like that's the end of the honeymoon period, right? It becomes settled down. When it's settled in and settled down, the complements have been established, and now other characteristics come out that aren't necessarily complements, but person's true colors will show. And this isn't science-backed. This is just me reflecting, me philosophizing. I am thinking that once we establish a complementary balance with somebody else, you know, I'm just talking about not so good relationships, the difficult relationships. Once we've established that complement where it started off great, then it becomes unbalanced after that. It's almost like it reached a middle point where it's balanced, and then it keeps going and gets past the balance point, and now there's one person on the seesaw, and it gets worse and worse and worse. So I believe this can happen, is that we meet someone that complements our strongest, best characteristics with their worst characteristics, and it feels good at first because it just seems to fit like a puzzle piece, and then after that, other characteristics start to show themselves because that baseline was established. And what does that mean? How is that helpful for you? I think it's helpful for you to understand that once you know your strongest characteristics, if you are aware of them and you are in a difficult situation or relationship, that you can ask yourself, what is my strongest characteristic so that I know what exactly is being taken advantage of? Because that can be helpful. Like I said, it can be very helpful to understand what your strongest characteristics are, because that will very likely be what's being taken advantage of. How do you change that? I don't want you to become less of that, but you might have to for this particular individual or individuals in your life. If you are overly compassionate, you might have to reel that in a little bit for this person. Problem when you do this. The problem is when you do this, they will be upset that you are no longer complimentary to them. And this goes right back to segment one, where you may feel like you don't have a choice. You just may not like that choice. You do have a choice. You just may not like it. So what do you do? I believe this is one approach, one perception, is to ask yourself, what are my strongest traits? What are my strongest qualities? And do I believe that's what's happening here? I mean, I think about some of my weak qualities and how they were taken advantage of. People pleasing, that used to be me. Boy, people took advantage of that. And some of them didn't even know they were doing it. But it happened because their stronger qualities might have been to do whatever they wanted and make me do whatever they wanted. And I did it because I never stood up for myself. I never told them about my boundaries. And if I had known this back then, I would have asked myself, okay, what's my strongest quality? I think it's being nice to everyone. I'm a nice guy. That would be me figuring out that my niceness was being taken advantage of. So what do I need to do now? Maybe I need to be not so nice. What does that mean? That might mean saying, hey, back off. I don't think that's not nice. I think that's just self-love. But it is helpful for me to look at something like that and say, what do I need to do? That's not my strong quality, because I might have to back off that quality so that I express myself in a way that is healthy and helpful. So I don't know if this is helpful to you, but I wanted to express this list, tell you what was on my list, because this, I believe, happens a lot. I believe that when a relationship isn't going so well, it could very well be a complementary quality in each other that was attractive at first. Like you were attracted like magnets, and then you were stuck together in a balanced way and it felt great. And now this other stuff comes out, But that could have been the origin, that first attraction, that first balance. And once you know the origin, you have something else to reflect upon and hopefully a good place to start. Like, what happened right after that? Oh, well, right after that, this other quality came out and I didn't like that. And maybe there is a step you can take in yourself to tone down with certain people some of your greatest strengths, but don't change who you are. But know what they're taking advantage of so they don't change you. And let's just leave it at that. I don't want them to change you. I want you to change if you want to change and if it's right for you and if it's good for you. But don't change who you are if you love certain things about yourself. But you may have to tone down some of your greatest strengths with certain people so they don't tone you down. They don't bring you down. They don't make you feel terrible, because you deserve to feel great. You deserve to be happy. Thanks for joining me today. I hope this went somewhere in your brain. I enjoy talking about it, and I hope you enjoyed listening. It was great to connect with you again. Thanks for joining me. We'll be right back with my final words right after this. Thank you for listening to another episode of The Overwhelmed Brain. I want to thank the patrons of the week, Adriana, Anna, Leela, Veronica, oh man, I need my glasses, Holly, Vanessa, Chelsea, Deborah, Harriet, Andreas, Allison, Anna, Debbie, and Somaya. Good to see you guys, at least on my list here. Good to connect with you. And of course, Mary, you left a donation. Thank you so much for your donation. Thank you for your support of the show. It warms my heart to see that you value the show, and I appreciate all of you. These are the patrons that I thank every week, different names every week, that they financially support the show, and it blows my mind. So I'm grateful for all of you. Thank you so much. If you find value in the show and you want to throw your support my way, head over to moretob.com, and there are options to do that. Thank you, patrons. I appreciate all of you. And Mary, again, thank you for your donation. And I want to read you, somebody wrote this in, I think, iTunes. They said, "Peace of mind and heart. I have found so much clarity and peace listening to the podcast. It has helped me so much, and I want to thank you for making it. It keeps me motivated to keep going and stop making mountains out of anthills and take the mountains one day at a time. Much love." And thank you so much. I'm kind of stuck on your handle here, LipstickPunk777. LipstickPunk777. Thank you for your iTunes review. I am grateful. I am so glad that you do have more peace of mind and heart, and that you are facing those mountains. That's a great way to look at it, right? We face these mountainous challenges that come along. What am I going to do now? What am I going to do? Let's find an episode that helps us with that specific challenge. Hopefully I've made enough episodes that you can search through my library. You can go to theoverwhelmedbrain.com or on your favorite podcast player, The Overwhelmed Brain, and find where I talked about a very specific issue you're having. I've talked about so much. I may have talked about almost everything that you'll run into. I say that knowing that there are probably millions of more things I haven't talked about, but that's why I keep coming back, and that's why I keep feeding you with my brain. I tell you what's on my mind, and hopefully something helps. And thank you again, this person who wrote. I am grateful. And I also have another podcast, in case you haven't heard. It's Love and Abuse over at loveandabuse.com. Yes, I stay busy, and over there I talk about difficult relationships and poisonous communication and what you can do to deal with and handle the difficult relationship, typically with emotionally abusive behavior and control and manipulation. I talk about all that over there over at loveandabuse.com. I think you'll find it very helpful, even if you're in a somewhat healthy relationship, because there are things that we do that we may not realize, or a lot of people may not realize, are hurtful to the other person. And I want to help you keep every relationship in your life free of toxicity and just easier to communicate and talk and connect and bond. Head over to loveandabuse.com if you want more of that. And you heard me talk about it at the very beginning. If you are the difficult person, if you are the hurtful person, or you're doing hurtful behavior, or you just want to know how to create the absolute best, strongest, most long-lasting bond you can with someone, head over to healedbeing.com. I created an entire course that gives you very specific steps, no fluff, very specific steps on how to make real changes right away. Healedbeing.com if that's for you. And thanks to Kevin McLeod of Incompetech.com for some of the music transitions in The Overwhelmed Brain. And for my final words today, I just want to say that when you speak up for yourself, when you show self-love, self-compassion, and self-care, and those who support you want you to do that, of course, you find that those who do support you, those who love you, that your relationship with them almost always strengthens. When I stood up for myself and even told my girlfriend that she was being disrespectful one day and said, "You need to back off. You're being disrespectful. I don't like it." She actually gained more respect for me. She actually knew that I would speak my truth. She saw that as a strength in me. It made her feel good to be with someone who felt that way about himself. That's what I'm trying to convey, is that the people who love you love to see you thrive. And I'm going to use that word admire again. They can even admire your strengths or your ability to stand up for yourself, even against them. The people who love you will want you to stand up for yourself. They will want you to show them that you care about yourself because they care about you. So they want you to care about yourself too. Now, it may lead to some uncomfortable situations. It wasn't comfortable telling her to back off one day, but I had to do it because I care about myself. I respect myself, and I want to show this person who I love that I don't deserve to be treated this way. And again, that just strengthened our bond. It made us closer. I think she wanted to see that strength in me. I think that's something that we appreciate in other people. Wow, you will stand up for yourself because I also stand up for her. I will also stand up to anyone that disrespects her because that's in me. That's a characteristic of mine that I truly want to nurture. I want to protect that about myself. Not that I necessarily need to protect it, but I'm definitely nurturing it. I'm definitely allowing it to be there and continue to be there in my life. And she knows it's in me, which helps her see me transparently. It helps her understand who I am as an individual, as a person, not who I am in relation to her, but who I am on my own. It's like that saying, you are who you are when no one is watching. How does it go? Your true character is who you are when no one is watching. That's how I feel, or at least that's who I try to be. I try to be the person I am when no one is watching as much as possible. Almost every time I try to be who I am when no one is watching, every other time. And when I am that person, I think more people trust you. I think more people respect you. I think when they trust and respect you, you're more likely to have stronger bonds with them and build better relationships with them because you're hiding nothing or very little. You're hiding very little. You're showing them your true face. And when somebody feels like they can trust you and you're showing your true colors and their good colors, then I think that makes them want to be with you more. Even the hard stuff, even the stuff that you may not be so proud of in yourself, but you express it anyway because you know it's something you need to work on. This is one of my weaknesses. I've been working on it, and I know it's a weakness, but I wanted to tell you about it because it's just something I want to be transparent about. I don't want to hurt you. I don't want to make you think that this is who I'm going to be forever. This is what I'm working on. And if you wanted to, you could go even further and say, I want you to call me out when I do it. That's challenging. That's quite a challenge. Call me out when I do it, and I will be okay with it. Good luck with that. Sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't. I actually encourage that. Like over in my Healed Being program, I tell the people that are hurtful or trying not to be hurtful anymore to their other people in their life that in order to get through this, you might have to tell them to call you out. Like if you do something that's unconscious or you have some unhealthy coping mechanism kicking in when you become emotionally triggered, I tell them that it can be helpful to have someone in your life call you out on it if you're prepared to be humble and vulnerable when they do. Can you be humble and vulnerable when somebody calls you out on your stuff? Even when you think what they're saying is wrong. That's humble. That's vulnerable because you are putting yourself in a place that you know makes you appear less than you think you are or makes you appear not as great as you think you are, not as nice as you think you are. You may appear to them as not perfect. And can you be humble and vulnerable enough to allow that to happen? Because if you are, they're going to trust you more. They're going to be okay being around you more. They're going to want to be around you more because you are being honest and transparent. Now, this is only with safe people. I'm not saying do this with unsafe people. I'm saying do this with people that you love and that they love you and they want you to be happy and they want you to be healthy and they want to have a good relationship with you. Those are the people that when you are more transparent and you show them that you trust them enough to call you out on your stuff, wow, that can be quite the bonding moment, if not scary as hell, or both, bonding and scary as hell. You know, this is just stuff that you learn as you go. You try to find out if saying something is going to lead to a huge argument or is it going to lead to a bonding moment. I'm not saying that this won't ever lead to an argument, but you have to be humble and vulnerable enough to hear what they're saying and allow it to soak in and not be defensive. That's not what I'm doing. That's not what I'm saying, but be open. You know, be open. You know where this is going. You got to have an open mind. Have an open mind so that you can step into your power. This is what helps you create the life you want. Always take steps to grow and evolve. You are powerful beyond measure. And above all, and always keep this in mind, no matter what you think about yourself, I know this for a fact, you are amazing.